The Summer House.
Well, my dear mother, I can't find my letter, and so I'll try to recollect it all. All went well enough in the main, for some time after my last letter but one. At last, I saw some reason to be suspicious, for would look upon me, whenever he saw me, in such a manner as showed not well, and one day he came to me, as I was in the summer-house in the little garden, at work with my needle, and Mrs. Jervis was just gone from me. And I would have gone out, but he said, "Don't go, Pamela. I have something to say to you, and you always fly me when I come near you, as if you were afraid of me." I was much out of countenance, you may well think, and began to tremble, and the more when he took me by the hand, for no soul was near us. "Lady Davers," said he, and seemed, I thought, to be as much at a loss for words as I, "would have had you live with her, but she would not do for you what I am resolved to do, if you continue faithful and obliging. What say you, my girl?" said he, with some eagerness. "Had you not rather stay with me than go to Lady Davers?" He looked so as filled me with fear. I don't know how wildly I thought. I said, when I could speak, "Your honour will forgive me, but as you have no lady for me to wait upon, and my good lady has been now dead this 12-month, I had rather, if it would not displease you, wait upon Lady Davers, because—" I was proceeding, and he said a little hastily, "Because you are a little tool, and know not what's good for yourself. I tell you, I will make a gentlewoman of you, if you are obliging, and don't stand in your own light." And so saying, he put his arm about me and kissed me. Now, you will say, all his wickedness appeared plainly. I struggled and trembled, and was so benumbed with terror that I sunk down, not in a fit, and yet not myself. And I found myself in his arms quite void of strength, and he kissed me 2 or 3 times with frightful eagerness. At last I burst from him and was getting out of the summer house, but he held me back and shut the door. I would have given my life for a farthing, and he said, "I'll do you no harm, Pamela. Don't be afraid of me." I said, "I won't stay." "You won't, hussy? Do you know whom you speak to?" I lost all fear and all respect, and said, "Yes, I do, sir, too well. Well, may I forget that I am your servant, when you forget what belongs to a master." I sobbed and cried most sadly. "What a foolish hussy you are," said he. "Have I done you any harm?" "Yes, sir," said I, "the greatest harm in the world. You have taught me to forget myself and what belongs to me, and have lessened the distance that fortune has made between us by demeaning yourself to be so free to a poor servant. Yet, sir, I will be bold to say I am honest, though poor, and if you were a prince, I would not be otherwise than honest." He was angry and said, "Who, little fool, would have you otherwise? Cease your blubbering. I own I have undervalued myself, but it was only to try you. If you can keep this matter a secret, you'll give me the better opinion of your prudence. And here's something," added he, putting some gold in my hand, "to make you amends for the fright I put you in. Go, take a walk in the garden, and don't go in till your blubbering is over. And I charge you say nothing of what has passed, and all shall be well, and I'll forgive you." "I won't take the money, indeed, sir," said I. "I won't take it." And so I put it upon the bench. And as he seemed vexed and confounded at what he had done, I took the opportunity to open the door and hurried out of the summer house. He called to me and said, "Be secret, I charge you, Pamela, and don't go in yet."
As I told you.
Oh, how poor and mean must those actions be, and how little must they make the best of gentlemen look, when they offer such things as are unworthy of themselves, and put it into the power of their inferiors to be greater than they. I took a turn or two in the garden, but in sight of the house, for fear of the worst, and breathed upon my hand to dry my eyes, because I would not be too disobedient. My next shall tell you more. Pray for me, my dear father and mother, and don't be angry that I have not yet run away from this house, so late my comfort and delight, but now my terror and anguish. I am forced to break off hastily. Your dutiful and honest daughter.